Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you in all the places that we are this morning, in your homes or walks. What an incredible worship time together. You know, all I did was praise. You know, in a time that the world is struggling, maybe you're struggling, families are struggling, you know, over the last week, a lot going on. You know, we turn our hearts toward praise. It shifts our thinking and it focuses a moment away from the problem to the solution, who is God through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, we live in some crazy times and a lot of difficult things are going on in our world. You know, if the coronavirus weren't enough, as if a falling of economy wasn't enough, if businesses closing, and maybe even yours is closing and struggling or trying to get back open, if that wasn't enough, if it wasn't 100+ thousand people who've died, uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and co-workers through the COVID-19, if that were not enough, now we're having riots, we have injustice, we have brutality, we have things going on in major cities all over the nation this past week. If that was not enough, there's so much struggle. In fact, if we look at the world, we can say it's just total chaos. Can it get worse? We often can ask, you know, what's going to happen next? You turn on the news, go, okay, what's going on? It seemed like for a while all we heard was coronavirus. Now all we hear is the events of the week. When is it going to be enough? There's so much bad news circulating, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to think about all the people who've lost loved ones and what that means for them. Even just one is enough, because Jesus Christ died for the world. Every single human being is valuable to God. It's clear in the scriptures. But you and I face it every day. And it breaks our heart to see the struggle going on. To see families struggling, even in their home, with all the changes taking place in the home quarantines and in the fear to go into a store to wear a mask or not wear a mask. All the things and the judgments that happen around with one another. Is there any good news? What's God doing? And what's he doing in us? I want to talk to you today about what I believe is an incredible hope emerging. Now, there's nothing I can say today that by any means wants to brush under the carpet, so to speak, or to belittle all the huge things that are going on, or the great concerns that we are facing in our nation right now and around the world. But I do want to share with you another undercurrent that can often be missed because the news is never going to talk about it, and often we don't either. And it is the move of God through the power of his Spirit. And what I want to help you understand today on this Pentecost Sunday, it is the Sunday most celebrated in church history throughout time for 2,000 years. Next to Easter, this is the most significant time in the church because it is the day we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit upon the earth and upon the people of God. And God is making some moves, I believe, right now that are seismic changes going on. As I've watched the church, in essence, be closed in its buildings but open in its homes over these past 10 weeks, I begin to see an emergence of the Spirit in a way that I have not seen in my entire ministry. And in speaking to my father, who's 89 years old and a pastor, has never seen in his ministry, and we're both going, what is the Spirit up to now? Some incredible things are moving. No doubt you may have asked, what is God up to? I've asked the question. Now, if we can't gather in our churches like this, face to face in this mass gathering, what is God up to? None of us ever remember a time that churches have been closed to people being in the church for 10 weeks or more. What is God up to? What is he doing when we seemingly can't do church as we always have known church? Certainly God is not dead, absolutely not, but what is he doing? I've asked the question. It is a hard, difficult time. Many shifts are going on. We are learning all kinds of new things. This is difficult. To not be with you is difficult. To know that you're seeing me online and I can't see you online. I can't see when you raise your hand and when you give your life to Christ. But God can. And God knows it. And God knows exactly where you are. So what's he up to? As you read many articles and things, they say, well, is God working on our character? Is he trying to teach us something during this time? Is God in a time of punishment? Is he punishing that which is going on in the world and doesn't want us to be open to his church? In all these deaths, is it just an act of punishment? Is he correcting us? Is God refining us? Is he leveling the playing field so we got nothing left that all we can see is him? All great questions, and people are trying to answer them all over. But you know, in reality, we really don't know. We don't know the full answer to that question, do we? I was reminded this past week as I was reflecting deeper on it, this passage from Isaiah chapter 55. And I think the prophet nailed it right when he said, from God speaking to him, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So how can I, as a human being, even begin to think that I know what God is doing? But I also know in the scriptures that he says, seek me and you will find me. Open your eyes and I will show you what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is consistent to what I've always done. And that's where I begin to look, as I begin to see this inbreaking of the Spirit. If there was a seismic tidal wave, a tsunami of the Spirit 2,000 years ago, there's a pretty big one going on right now. But these are some things I know that God is doing. I know that he has not abandoned us. Because why would he die on a cross for our sins? Why would he give up his son Jesus for us if he wanted to walk away from us? And why would he punish us if he was going to die and take the punishment for us? Yeah, we may make mistakes, and I may live in the consequences of my mistakes, but I assure you, God paid the price for your sin and mine already. He just wants you to come to him. That's what I know. I know exactly when Jesus is speaking in the scriptures and people are coming to a blind man and they're saying, I bet that man's blind because he was worse than everybody else. And if it wasn't him, I bet you it was his family. And Jesus said, no, he's just blind. Or when this tower fell on the people, the Tower of Siloam fell on these people and some died and some didn't die. And everybody was saying, I bet you they were more sinful. God's just punishing those people and not those people. Why are they so different? Jesus said, no, that's not the case. But if you want to live, turn to me. These things I do know. That Jesus walked on the face of the earth and he cared for the broken and the hurting and the dying. And he touched those that were seemingly untouchable. And he went to the places that were unclean that nobody else would go. And he was there. I want to be that type of person today. And I pray you are too. That's what I know God is doing. I also know that God is writing this huge cosmic story that started in Genesis that ends in Revelation. And somewhere there in the middle, here we are in this age called the Age of the Spirit. And we live between the first coming of Jesus and when he will come again. And God's writing this story. He's writing your story. He's writing my story. He's writing the story of this church. He's writing the story of this nation. We can look back and see that story, but it's going on right now and he's moving. And that's why I believe he's moving powerfully, because this is something else I see and I know. That God's Spirit is moving more powerfully today than I have seen it in all the years of my ministry. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? Some of you may be asking, well, what is the Holy Spirit? What do you mean by the Holy Spirit? I believe in God. I've heard of Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit of God is the gift of God's person given to you on earth, given to me on earth. Look what it says in John chapter 16. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper cannot come to you. Hear that? Jesus is saying, Jesus is in the person. Jesus is fully flesh, he's fully divine, but he was person. He was one place at a time. But he said, unless I go away, I cannot send to you the gift of the Holy Spirit that can be with you, every one of you at the same time. He says, if I go, I will send him to you. That's a promise. And that would happen at Pentecost. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit has a purpose in your life and in my life, and that is to help us understand the truth of God, to convict us of the things that are wrong. So when the Spirit's working, we're going to be convicted of the things that are wrong, and he's going to teach us the things that are right. And he's going to help us understand who God is and who Jesus is. But he goes on in verse 13 of chapter 16, and Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, hear that? The Spirit of truth. There is a truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Hear that? We can know what's coming because the Spirit says, I'm going to speak to you. That's a promise from Jesus. He will glorify me. It's not self-glorification. The Spirit coming in you and the Spirit coming in me, the Spirit coming into our communities and our churches will elevate God, will elevate who Jesus is, not to our glory, but to him. For he will take what is mine. Hear that? He will take what is mine, God, and give it to you. That means that the power and promise of God will move from God to you, the gift of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit's often referred to like wind and fire. I think it's awesome. In fact, we call this title this day, Wind and Fire, because fire refines and purifies. And when the Spirit came in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, it was described like little tongues of fire resting on the heads. Very gentle kind of fire, but fire is a refining fire. And when the Spirit comes into your life, it refines you. Refining makes you better. It makes you more like gold and precious. And that's what you and I can be in the world when the Spirit refines our lives. We become like leaven, as Jesus said. We become like salt. We become like light. But the Spirit also is spoken of like wind. And when the wind comes, you can't see the wind, but you see the action of the wind. So when the Spirit's blowing, you begin to see evidences of the Spirit around. And that's what I'm seeing today, matched with what the Spirit was doing 2,000 years ago. It's almost like the Spirit brings this fresh wind, this newness that comes in the life of the church. Everything old kind of passes away in this fresh movement. Now, we may not like fresh movement. We may like it how it was, but we don't get that opportunity because God's going to move as God's going to move to accomplish his will. Remember, he says in the Lord's Prayer, my will be done. My kingdom come. It's not ours, it's his. And we want to be where he's moving. And I want to encourage you to even say today, God, I want to be where you're moving. I want to open my heart. I want to allow your fresh wind and your fresh fire to come into my life because I want to be where you're moving. I want to be in this next seismic shift that the world's going to make right now, even though it doesn't look like it on the surface. So let me show you what happened 2,000 years ago on Pentecost. It's recorded in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles or Bible apps, go ahead and open up. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And it reads like this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Hear that? And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. It wasn't a burning up fire. It was a consuming fire. It was an evidence that something was changing. Something was happening. And they were all filled then with the Holy Spirit. Hear that? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like a new breath came into them. A new life came into them. And they began to speak in other languages or other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't in control. The Spirit was giving them a gift for his purpose. And the Spirit wants to give you and me a gift. He wants to give the church a gift. Not the church a building, the church of people like you and me. Believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing is what was going on. You see, this is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And 50 days from that time, which is the time of Passover, and remember, there was a time of Passover. It was on the Friday of Passover, we now call Good Friday, that Jesus was crucified, and on Sunday he rose. But 50 days after the Passover was a celebration called Shavuot. And that celebration called Shavuot was a time by which people gathered from all over the world who believed in God to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses in the Old Testament. This is the Ten Commandments. Now get this. They came from all over the world, all these different languages, to a place called Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses. And the Holy Spirit came. When all these people... Now, this isn't coincidence. This is a God incidence. God chooses the moment to enter your life and the power of your life, to enter the church and to move the church in the way that he wants, on the time that he wants. And the time was set up. The time was set up right there. Everything had changed. Jesus had risen from the dead. He had ascended into heaven. And all these people were gathered to celebrate an old tradition. And the Spirit changes everything. He comes in. Fire and wind. And all of a sudden, all these people that are celebrating this ancient tradition of law are now a people that are going to be led by the power, the truth, and the voice of God. You see, in reality, law never changes anything. It might restrain someone, but what changes a life is when the power of the Spirit comes in a life and we begin to think differently, act differently, love differently, and be different because God has transformed our life, and then we live according to the law. Not by restraint, but by the power of God. That's what's going on right now. So what am I seeing? We've seen evidences, powerful evidences, of the Spirit's move throughout history. It began at Pentecost 2,000 years ago that I just read. But there were other times. If that was the big tsunami that changed everything, and believe it changed everything, cultures changed, emperors and kings became Christian, society changed, the family values changed. Did everything change? No. Nero was still the ruler of Rome. People were still persecuted. There was still struggle. And if you had had the newscast of the day, it might look much like the newscast of what we see today. Everything seems to be going wrong. But there was an undercurrent of the Spirit that was beginning to change what life looked like. 300 years later, we'd see the full reality of it. When the entire Roman Empire became Christian and Emperor Constantine. We saw the Spirit move radically in those days by which we received the creeds. Now let's jump fast forward a little bit further. 16th century, we begin to see the reformers move in a church that had lost the Spirit of God in it. And it was just existing. It was excluding people. It was not the Spirit of God's church that he desired. And it began to reform. And we saw a flush of the Spirit because God set it up for the right time. The Bible was being translated in the language of the people. There were scholars and people they could begin to train and teach. The printing press was being invented. God chose that moment in history to blow wind and to blow fire and to watch the church, the people of God, expand throughout the world in radical ways. I don't believe there's been a time in history since until now by which churches across the world have not been able to meet in person. And we are seeing evidences of what happened 2,000 years ago begin to ride in the undercurrent of our society in radical ways. Barna did a poll just a couple weeks ago, began to poll people during this coronavirus time. And the poll that the Barna asked is, how has your faith been changed by this time of the coronavirus? 25% of Americans said that their faith has been deepened, and they have not been sitting in the houses of worship in America, but rather in the homes of worship across America. You might say, well, that's only 25% of the people. But think about this. If 25% of the people's lives are being changed radically by the Spirit, and they're having a deep sense of the power of God in their lives, and they begin to live that out as light and leaven and salt in the midst of the world, that can change to 50% and 100% just like that. The Spirit is moving. But what I put in your outline, and I encourage you to go take a look at it, are five things that are happening that correspond exactly is what we saw 2,000 years ago. Let me show you. The first one is this: the ability and willingness to share Jesus person to person. The ability and willingness to share Jesus person to person. That is happening today like I have not seen it in my lifetime. In Acts 2:4, it goes like this: and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope and promise of Jesus in their lives, in the language by which people could understand. So two things I want you to grab hold of here. Two important things. One is an understandable language, and the other is a willingness to share. Now, understandable language goes beyond whether you can speak Spanish or French or Italian or Kirundi or whatever other language in the world. When you think about understandable language, it's the ability of you to understand what I'm saying. We can be speaking the same language, English or Spanish or whatever, and not understand what we're saying because we don't hear each other's heart. But in this day of the coronavirus, people are listening to other people and they're sharing their faith to other people. They're listening to the struggle and they're speaking into the pain like never before. That is a language, and the Spirit is moving, and people are out in their communities and their neighborhoods and their coworkers, and they're having these conversations. And we've been talking for years to have these conversations, but it's happening. The Spirit is moving right here, right now. The second thing we saw 2,000 years ago that we're seeing again, and that is a greater emphasis on being sent rather than being gathered. Take that in for a moment. A greater emphasis on being sent rather than being gathered. Look at Acts 2, verse 5 and 6. It says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation. Hear that, every nation under heaven. And I shared with you why they were there. At the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each was hearing them speak in their own language. Now, what was God doing? God was taking a traditional gathered church and sending it all across the world. And it happened on Pentecost. You know, I wonder, how is God going to send the church if we're not gathered? You know, I saw a joke out there. You know, Satan said, ha, God, I closed all your churches. See what I can do? And God says, nope, I opened up millions of homes. Yeah. Do I know fully what God's doing? No, but what I see in the Spirit happening is the church is growing. It's not the gathered church, not all here in this place sitting here together. Now, I know that God loves the gathered church. There's nothing like the power of gathering in worship before the throne of God with other people singing before God. We're going to be doing it in heaven, and we want to do it here on earth. Jesus wants that church, but perhaps Jesus has to keep the church away from the gathered movement, so we learn to be sent again. You might consider that. Because the church in the book of Acts learned to be sent. And what I'm watching in the homes and communities and the likes and shares and the conversations are not a gathered church, but a sending church. You and me being the church in the very places God called us to be. That is a move of the Spirit. And when God is ready for all of us to come back, I pray that we are coming back with testimonies and that we never forget what it is to be sent. And I know you might say, how am I equipped to be sent? Because the role of the church is to equip the sent, to equip you guys. And we're ready to equip you. We want to equip you. And in fact, raise your hand if you want to be equipped to be sent. We want to help you. We've got resources to help you. Sorry, I can't see if your hand is raised. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go online and on Facebook and say, count me in, or you're going to have to send me an email, count me in, and I will engage you in a webinar, and we will teach you how to live sent in powerful ways. Because that's what the church is called to be. That's the move of the Spirit of God. Remember Matthew 28? The very last words Jesus said wasn't a gathered church, it was a sent church. He says, Jesus came to them all and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Hear that? Go, therefore, go. We might gather. It's like breathing. We come and we go. But, you know, the church in America has forgotten to go. The church in America has had so much emphasis on the gathering that we have forgotten the sending. Amen, church? Maybe this time is God saying, learn to be sent again. And when you have, I'll let you gather again. I don't know, but I know the Spirit's up to something powerful. He says, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. You see, Jesus is on the front line, and when you and I are on the front line of a sent church, you're standing right beside Jesus, because that's where he's at. And he's longing for us to be there as well. A third sign, or third thing that I see, a pattern, is a priority love for Jesus greater than the trappings of tradition. Let me say that again. A priority love for Jesus greater than the trappings of tradition. Acts 2 verse 11 says this, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Hear that? We heard in our own tongues the mighty works of God. They weren't out there saying, man, you got to come to my church. My church is awesome. My church is great. My church does this. My church doesn't do this. They were talking about Jesus. Amen? That's going on today because you can't invite people here. We're not open for in-person worship, but you can invite people to invite Jesus into their heart. And you can tell them of the great works of Jesus in your life. That's a move of the Spirit in these days. And it was a move of the Spirit then. And it blew across the world like wildfire. Oh my. Do I love Jesus more than I love the trappings of the church? Amen. But sometimes me, I, Craig Bones, you get caught up in the trappings of what we ought to make church look like. That I forget to say, well, what does Jesus look like? When we come back to church, it's about Jesus, my friends. And it's about being sent, because that's what the Spirit's moving. And that is the radical move that I believe is a seismic shift in the life of the church today. And sometimes we just need to back up a moment and say, okay, I get it, God. I want to be the kind of church you called us to be. And it starts now. There's a revival going on. The fourth thing I see is this. It's a genuine love for helping people. A genuine love for helping people. You know, there's another interesting Barna study that came out actually in 2007, a long time ago, and they've been tracking this ever since. And out of that Barna study, a book was written called Unchristian. And what it did, it evaluated Christianity across America. What do unbelieving people say about Christians? And literally it was saying that Christians are like unchristian. They don't follow the ways and the love of Jesus. And it said the one thing that keeps people away from following Jesus are the followers of Jesus, because they don't look like the love of Jesus in the midst of the world. And I can't blame them. And they were saying, as they followed up for this year and year, even now, people are saying the same thing. But I have seen a shift. I have seen in these last 10 weeks the heart of the Christian faith and people giving and pouring out generosity, love to neighbors, going out and giving COVID-19 care packages, listening to the hurts and the struggles that are going on in the world and listening. I see Christians being Christians. I see them being loved to one another. I see them filling up the food pantries and showing up in the care places. And people are looking at the church again going, wow, the church is actually the church. The church is being Jesus. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It goes like this. These new Christians, Pentecost Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. It all came upon every soul. They were living in awe. Man, look at what the Spirit's doing. And many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles and by the church. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. There's a unity about them in a movement. See, the church isn't necessarily just about the gathering of people. It's about the unity of the people making a difference in the world together. It said they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to as any had need. I see that going on. That's the church today. He feel the wind and the fire of the Spirit moving. People are letting go of their stuff so other people can have some stuff. It says, and day by day they're attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They're having worship in their homes. Hear that? And they receive food from one another with glad and generous hearts. I've watched the generosity of America increase, certainly the generosity of this church increase. I am proud of you and I'm indebted to you. It says they were praising God, and listen to this, they were having the favor with all people. Having favor with all people. The church is learning to love again. We see another outbreak this week of hatred and anger and frustration. The church has got to learn to love again, and we got to be visible right in the midst, loving, not hating, having conversation, going deep, being willing to ask the tough questions. Last night, as Meryl and I went around the neighborhood, and we take a couple care packages to our neighbors and just drop them off, and if we have a conversation, we get to have a conversation. And we knocked on the door, and we met a neighbor we had met once before. We wanted to have a little more conversation. He looks different from me. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about all that's going on? He's a professor in a prominently African-American college. I said, can we talk about it? We can put on a fire out back and we can sit around and have conversation. The church has to learn to love again and care about what's going on in other people's lives who think differently, act differently, perceive the world differently. So we can love to learn, that we can be, as Jesus said, leaven and salt and light in the midst of the world. See, I see that happening, and I want to encourage you more and more to have that happening right now. Go back out there. Engage people that are different from you. Engage people in your community. Love people well. I see it happening. I see that wave of the Spirit. This is the fifth thing I see. A clear guidance in what God wants. In John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. I don't know how many dozens and dozens of conversations I've had with people like you in this community and beyond this community who have been asking the questions, I wonder what God wants of me now. I wonder what God wants me to do with my finances now. I wonder how God wants me to live among my family now in these things that I've learned in this COVID-19 time. I wonder how busy God wants my life to be. I wonder how God wants me to make a difference, because I'm realizing how short life can be. Hear that? I don't remember in a long time the Spirit having that kind of activity in the hearts and souls of God's people. Convicting and having people consider a different world and a different life. That's what went on 2,000 years ago, and it changed the world as we know it. See, I believe you and me in this time, this God moment time, just like it was set up 2,000 years ago, there's a tsunami coming. And it may seem small, and it may not be on the news, and it may not seem like it's happening, but it's happening. It's happening to me. It's happening to many of you and 25% of Americans. And I want to encourage you, don't fight it. When we come back here in this place, may we hear testimony after testimony. Because, see, we've been a church of knowledge, and knowledge is good. We come and we want to learn. People say, hey, pastor, I want to learn about God. I want you to have the knowledge of God, but I want you to have the testimony of God. Because there's a journey, You see, when you have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God will convict your heart, and the conviction of your heart will move to a place by which you get on your knees and you repent. God, I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to move in your way. And when we move in that way, we get a changed life. We begin to be an obedient life. And when you obey the ways of God, then you get a testimony. The only way any of us are ever going to have a testimony of a move of God is not through knowledge, but through obedience. I hear people seeking to be obedient to God. It's a move of the Spirit. And it's a game changer. It's what we talk about in our church to be life-giving. To love God and to make a difference in the world. May we be that church. I know a lot's going on in the world. I watch the news every day just like you. And I get out in the community, and I am not afraid to have the conversations, and I don't want you to either. But it starts with you and I saying, Holy Spirit, come. You're not a figment of my imagination. Break into my life and change my life. Convict me of the things that you want to show me. And help me through your power to live obedient. That I will have a testimony of your goodness and your grace and your love. I want to pray for you right now. Gather with your family, hold hands, get on your knees right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we want your presence with us. We want your power to be present in our lives, Lord Jesus. We do not want to miss this move that you're having in 2020. We don't know when you're going to come again in flesh and blood, but we know you're coming right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now, if there's anyone that's listening that has not asked you to be the Lord of their life, that they'll do that right now. Just simply pray with me. Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. Come and make your home in my heart. I pledge my life to you. Let your Spirit lead me in obedience. Show me your ways and change my life that I may be a part of what you're doing in this huge seismic shift of your Spirit in these days. God, we pray for the struggle in our world. We pray for the tough conversations, the people who are hurting because of injustice, who play it out in good ways but also violent ways. God, we pray that we may hear and we may listen. Father, for all who've lost loved ones, we lift them up to you and we ask for the comfort of your Spirit to watch over them. Call them to your truth. God, we thank you for your great love. Never leave us. We know you'll never forsake us. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray.